And thanks once again for taking the time to download and listen to my ramblings on the Celtic Underground podcast. This is Celtic Underground podcast number 198 from CelticUnderground.net, and I am Harry Brady, and this week I am joined by a very special guest, signed in 1999 by John Barnes for £2.8 million. This gentleman began in all sorts of positions, mainly right back for some unknown reason, but really flourished under Martin O'Neill, who became our box-to-box midfielder that we've been trying to replace ever since, I think. He then went to Villa in 2006, and in March 2012 was diagnosed with leukemia. Yes, of course, I'm talking about the one and only Stylian Petrov. So without further ado, this is me, Harry Brady, with him, Stylian Petrov. So I now have probably the most special guest that I've ever done so far in the podcast, and apologies to George Galloway for saying that this man's more special than him, but I'm joined by Stylian Petrov. So first of all, I'm calling you Stylian, but we always called you Stan in Glasgow. What do you prefer to be called?
Anything. Great talking to you,
Mr. Petrov.
Yeah, great talking to you, Harry, as well. Well, obviously when I came to Celtic, obviously Stylian was too hard to pronounce, so Matt Burchill called me Stan once, and everything started from there. Yeah. You know, so everybody short of Stylian just kept calling me Stan, and that just became as a nickname.
So one question then before we start, did it annoy you that everybody spelt your name wrongly in Glasgow?
Oh, you want to see, sorry, they call me different kind of Steven, Stevie, Stefan, all different ones. So I just laugh, you know. Even in the Premiership, the referee keep calling me Steven or Stefani or that, and I was kept going, who's that? And they'll go, oh, sorry. And, you know, they get my name wrong, but it's hard to pronounce, so I'm okay with it.
Right, okay. So I'm speaking to you in Celtic Park, and you've just left a press conference for the game on Sunday. Hopefully this will be going out tonight or today, which is Thursday the 5th, for the game on Sunday. So the game on Sunday is, you've got the team list in front of you, managed by Martin O'Neill and Kenny Dalglish. Two people that you were under at Celtic.
Yeah, two very good people and two very good managers as well. You know, as when you go into a club, you want to work with somebody who understands you, who is good with the team, and they both are like that. They both knew the teams, they both knew the players, and they both knew how to run a team. And you know, they teach me a lot through all these years that I work under them.
So you came, I'll cover the game in a minute, because it's the Stylian Petrov Foundation and I think it's the Terrell Trust, who food banks in Glasgow, who are benefiting, so I'll ask about them in a minute. But first of all, I'd like to say, go back to coming to Glasgow. So you came from CSKA Sofia
in 1999, that was not long after I finished my national service, you know, as well. So it was exciting for me as a young boy. I wasn't speaking any word of English. I came to a really big club, and you know, it was a bit like shocked for me. But you know, when you look back at all these things, you just make you laugh.
Had you heard much of? Be honest, because you know everybody says this is a club I always wanted to play for, and most fans know that that's not always the case. Had you heard much of Celtic before?
Yeah, I've heard much of Celtic. I wasn't like, well, this I'll definitely want to go, but you've heard about Celtic. Celtic is big all over the world, so you know about it, especially the Celtic and Rangers derby. Yeah. You know, it's one of the best derby in the world, so you know about it. And when the club like that comes and calling, I don't think you need to think about it.
And then you came, and it was, you're probably, everybody talks about Celtic's business model now is bring young players in, develop them, and then the young player moves on to probably the English Premiership for a big fee. You are probably, in the modern era, probably the stereotype image of that's what Celtic wanted to do, because they brought you in and sold you for quite a difference. But when you first came in...
Yeah, I wasn't the best, innit?
No, you see, I remember thinking, not to be critical of John Barnes again.
You can see bits and pieces, but you couldn't see what
I could see. No, actually, like many Celtic fans, you're thinking, this is a young guy who's getting a big reputation in Bulgaria, a great young player, why are we playing him at right back?
Yeah, that was my only concern, why I end up... Why I end up in the right back, and especially when I was thinking over again, You know, you, obviously you're playing as a defender. As a defender, you need to talk, you need to guide people in front of you. Especially with me, I didn't have that skills because I couldn't speak any English. I couldn't help anyone with talking. So, and also playing a right back, never played. I was always playing a midfielder. But I was trying. Obviously, the wingers are quicker than me anyway.
Yeah.
I was struggling. I was slight tackling everybody. But it was hard. You know, it was hard. I had a tough time, especially with a language barrier, with playing the right back, you know, being away from home, not having my friends, my family around me. It was a big thing. And, you know, I was messed up in my head. I was like, what's happening? What I'm doing? But then everything happened for a reason. That's the way I am. And, you know, then John Barnes left and Kenny Dalglish took over. So at the time, I could really understand bits and pieces because I started to learn the language. I understood how important.
And could you understand Kenny Dalglish?
Yeah. Well, I could understand what I want to hear.
Yeah,
put it that way. But what he tried to explain during that, obviously, he saw that John was playing me right back and that wasn't my position. He knew I was a midfield, so he's going to give me a chance. I'm a young boy, you see, I've got potential, and he's going to give me a run of 10 games and see how I'm going to do. So after about 6 games, he came to me and said, I'm really happy the way you're going. I scored my first goal as well. And, you know, so I'm really happy. You're playing with more confidence. Now you're looking at the players that we actually brought in. So that gave me even more confidence. And then we had about 10 games until the end of the season, until I played the midfield. And he was really happy with it. And then after that, he left. And then Martin New came. So Martin New came. I came back in the preseason. I came back a little bit overweight, the way I'm at the moment now.
yeah, but you put me to shame.
We had a blip test. So I've done a blip test, and I was really struggling. So Martin, you pulled me in and he said to me, he was honest to me, he said, I'm hearing good things about you, but I'll tell you what, you're overweight. If you're going to go that road, you're not going to be part of my team. So you've got 6 weeks of pre-season. You better lose that weight and show me that you need to be, you deserve to be in that team. And I'll tell you what, for 6 weeks, my food was only green, just salad. Just salad and salad. So for about 6 weeks, I've lost about 8 kilos.
Right?
Yeah. So I've come back, I've dropped my body fat, I've dropped my kilos, I've got fitter, I've got stronger. And I've started playing. You know, if Matt O'Neill liked what I could offer to the team, and, you know, I've started playing. He was giving me more confidence, the game after game. You know, I was getting better and better, and I was working. And, you know, everything come with the appetite. You know, when you get a little bit, and then if you like something, you got yeah, more and for more. And that's how I start improving, you know. I was in the right place. We had a great fitness coach, Jim Henry, who helped me a lot through all my career, working hard, improving a little bits and pieces, power, strength. And, you know, this is the things. I had a good professionals as well, around me as well. So they teach me a lot, how to be professional, how to become a good player, how to respect your teammates, how to respect your opposition. So this is the things that if you get into the right environment, if you want to learn, you've got the right opportunity to learn from the right people. And I've got that opportunity.
There's a lot there. You just up and, you know, talking about Martin O'Neill, you're talking about learning a lot as a young player. I mean, difficult to come to a different culture. Do you sometimes see young players and think, if you just got your head screwed on, you'd be an even better player?
Yeah.
It must frustrate you, if you, considering what you've done.
You know, I think a lot of the players, that when they move to a bigger club, they think, oh, we've done it, that's it. But it's not, because you need to prove yourself every day in training, in games, and also outside life as well. Because you idol for a lot of young kids, and they need to look up to you. And if you start to mess up, they're not going to follow you. They're not going to support you, which is very important things. And some players come and they see they've done their bit. You know, they've come to a big club. They've got their move. You know, they think they've got everything. But no, if you want to be somebody, if you want to be respected, if you want to play a good level football, you need to prove and improve yourself every single minute in the training pitch and the football pitch when you play the games and outside football as well.
Because it's just, as you're saying that, I was just thinking about a lot of talk yesterday about in England, Greg Dyke's come out about the lack of the number of English players who moved in the transfer window for any decent amount of money and the number of lack of English players. And the same in Scotland, people are starting to look at the younger players and saying, well, why are our players not moving at the same level and price tag?
It's a fair point, you know. End of the day, it's you need to do that, but it's always you can go around it because you can apply rules into it. Number of players they need to play, you know, and then you can make it better. But you can tell me that, okay, I'll give you an example. You're the manager and you go and see somebody that you really like and he's, say, from France. And you say, well, you know what? He's going to score goals for me, he's going to win games and he's going to be successful and he's going to make me successful. So what are you going to do? Yeah. You go and buy him?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's, you can't really go against that. You obviously need to be players that deserve to be in the team. You as a manager, you system as well. If you're good enough to play, you play. Doesn't matter what nationality, what colour, whatever.
Do you think the best thing for your development was the day that Kieran Dalglish said, I'm going to give you 10 games in a row?
Yeah, that was it. He trusted me. He knew how to deal with young players. He knew that if he give me one game or two games and I'm not good, he's gonna kill my confidence. Mm-hmm. I won't get back again. But what he did to me, he said to me, I'm giving you a long run. I want you to relax. I want you to have a confidence. Go and show me what I've got. So it's no one. So if you play one, two or three bad games, I won't take you out. I'm giving you that opportunity to show me what you've got. And I had that opportunity. But I'll tell you what, a lot of the young players don't have it. They play one or two games and they go, oh, he's not good enough. And then he goes somewhere else and then he was given opportunity and he's really good. And people say, well, why you didn't keep him? Because I think with young players, because they're developing, a lot of people don't understand that when you're younger, you're still developing. Mm-hmm. So you need time. And as long as you know that the ability is there and he's working hard and he's a good professional, then you can believe in him and trust him. But some manager go, one, two games is not good enough, and he goes, you know. But I had the opportunity and the belief, and people trusted me to go and do it, and look at me now.
Do you think you had that opportunity? I'm just thinking of a big club like Celtic. Do you think part of the reason you got that opportunity is because we weren't going to win the league that season?
No.
Or do
no.
you think that's just the way Kieran Dalglish was?
Just the way Kieran Dalglish was, you know, he had a... Listen to me, he had unbelievable players there. You know, he had Paul Lambert. Mm-hmm. He had George Burley. He got Ljubo Muravcic, Eo Berkovic. He could easily not play me mm-hmm. because he had outstanding players. But he saw something, he saw that I could become something, and he gave me that opportunity.
So do you think... I'm just thinking, you mentioned players there as well, and the way you're talking. Do you think for young players it's as important that they've got a strong mentality as opposed, in addition to ability, that it's not just having all the... A player who's got who's got intelligence and a bit of self-belief can maybe do better than a player who's got fantastic ability but doesn't...
You know, I always believe in my ability. Obviously, you need people, the right people to believe as well, especially the manager, because they're the one that picking the teams, they're the one that holding the team together. So, but I always had a self-belief. Even every time I had a hard time through a club or wasn't playing for a while when I was out of the team, I always believed that I had the ability to go back. Well, a lot of people don't understand that football is a funny game, you know. And you need to use this opportunity. I knew that will come a time through the season that the player that play in my position is going to have a bad time. He's going to have a bad run. We're going to lose a couple of games, but I need to be ready. When he have that time, I respect him as a player. I was a good teammate. I was giving I pushed him in training. The ones that I'm competing with my players. But I knew that if he slip, that's me there. And when I take that opportunity, I'm not letting it go. So, but the main thing is I make sure I'm going to be ready for that. I wasn't playing, and you know, sometimes you see players don't play, they don't work hard enough. No, when I wasn't playing, I was working three times harder than everybody else mm-hmm. to make sure when my opportunity come, I'll take it.
And so do you think it's then very important that players think that they could be dropped
of
for
course.
Them to keep them at that standard?
Of course. Like, I'll give you an example. I went to Aston Villa. I started very well. I played out games. And all of a sudden, my form dropped. And Martin O'Neill, that's what I liked about him. He was honest. If you don't perform, if you don't play, you're on the bench. But I was okay with that because I knew I wasn't doing well. But I'll tell you what, I was working every day. I was working with the fitness coaches for power, for strength, extra running to make sure when my opportunity comes next time, I'll be ready for it. And this time when I catch it, I'm not letting it go.
Mm-hmm.
So is that what happened? That's what happened. And you as a young boy, you need to know that. If you don't do it, you're never going to be ready. Because if they drop you once, and you go back and they drop you again, it won't be a third time.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see around the world, you know, players as well, you know, they're given one chance, two chance, sometimes get third one, maybe not.
I love what you're saying as well, and I'm just thinking about in modern football, fans as much as the media can start to become obsessed with systems and formations and all that sort of stuff. The two managers that you've talked about being great managers, Martin O'Neill and Kenny Dalglish, are famous for not being so fussed about tactics and more about motivating people. Do you think people make too much of tactics?
Exactly. I think that they coach too much of this today. Football, you know how football goes. They try to invent new things. Every single manager, you know, successful manager, he keeps things simple. He knows his team.
Mm-hmm.
He knows his best team. He knows what the rest can do. And I'll tell you what, he knows that the main things for him is you can pick a system, you can pick 4-3-3, you can pick 4-3-2, 4-2-3-1, you know. But when these players go out there, it's completely different. But I'll tell you what, when that ball start moving, system don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a lot of important things there. Yeah, you've got a little bits and pieces that you need to work on,
mm-hmm.
about being organised, set pieces and things like that.
Yep.
You can get away with that. But rest of that, you need to know your players and what they're going. Exactly, I'll give you one thing. You can work in your set pieces every day, 3 hours a day. I'll tell you what, if nobody willing to go and head that ball out of your box, there's no point working on it,
yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
So it's a little things you need to work on it, but if mm-hmm. you don't have the right players to do the right things, like heading the ball out of your box, attacking the balls in opposition box, being closer to people when they lose the ball, this is important. That's the players does it naturally in the game, you know, and if you don't have that, it's very hard to get a team.
Well, talking of players, you obviously played with some great players at Celtic, and then in 2006 you moved to Villa. I was going to ask you, but it's probably too embarrassing.
No, it's okay.
Who's the best player that you played with and best player you played against? Either it's one of each.
Henry Clarke.
Mate. Right.
I'll pick him.
Easy?
Yeah, people say, why? I say why, because he had everything. Really, he had everything. As a player, he could score goals,
mm-hmm.
work rate, he can play one-touch football, he's got a great vision about the game, and he's a great man as well. So you've got everything you can wish for from a player.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I've played against him.
Yep.
I hated playing against him, I've put it that way. But I love playing with him,
yeah.
You know, because every time he plays against me, he scores. He scores in every game he plays against me, so I hate him for that. But I'll tell you what, I love him playing with him because he had everything. You as a midfielder, and I think everybody will say that, his striking partners. I had the pleasure to play up front with him a couple of games as well. It's just pleasure. His movement, his awareness, everything about it. But, you know, people say, oh, this and that. He worked so hard for it. Because he learned, he watched football, he works in training, and he tries things in training. You know, you see all young boys, you know, they train and they just go home. No, his finish was unbelievable, and he still stayed in practice there,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, he needed to. And that's a lot of players don't understand. They think, oh, they're great players. The amount of practice they do is just incredible.
You're talking about scoring goals. You scored a decent amount of goals for Celtic.
I had the opportunity to join the forward play, the offensive play, and with the players I had up front would be beside me as well, like Lenny and Lambert. They were really great to me because they were looking after me. But I knew that soon I go forward, then we'll lose that ball. Them two looking into me, I need to get back as well, you know. But they give me that license to go forward,
yep.
and, you know, find the space and score goals. And I knew that with Chris Sutton, John Hartson, and Henry Klaassen, you can always can link with them. They're so smart, and they're all their brain football. They know about things. They know when they need to pull defender, when to create space for you to get into it. So it was so easy for me. So you just need to have the brain to find the right time to go into space, and you know the ball was coming because Henrik and Johnny Hartson and everybody else knew that I was going to be there. I was gambling as well. The sooner that the ball go along, I knew that Henrik or Johnny would win that ball. Every flick, everything, I was already on the way. And you know, you need to know your teammates. You know, you need to know your strength, what they can do, what's their ability, you know, and you use them as well. So I managed to do that.
So was it a different style of football, or were you asked to play a different role when you went to Villa?
Yeah, to be honest, Martin asked me to do it, which I was fine with it. Obviously, he saw me in a different position over there. What is it? He had some exciting forward going for players like Ashley Young, Stuart Downing, and Gabriel Bonahor, John Carew, you know, Gareth Barry. So what he wanted for me, and when we lose that ball, I make sure everybody's organised. I was the one to make sure everything is in place. And the sooner we get that ball, I retain the ball, we keep position. Doesn't matter what's happened, we keep that position and we make sure our wide mans are ready to go again. Mm-hmm. So I've enjoyed it, but I've missed scoring goals as well.
Yeah.
You know, I've missed scoring goals as well. But that was my part of my job. And, you know, everybody who scored goals, they get the fame and everything. But I wasn't like that. I knew that I need to be part of that team and I need to help with my strength. So we had a good balance of the team and we were doing very well. So that is very important. A lot of players don't understand that as well. You know, sometimes you need to do the dirty job. But I'll tell you what, even some fans don't see it. Your teammates appreciate it.
Yeah.
That's the main thing, because you play against them, you're a good teammate, and they know that if they lose that ball, I'll be there and I'll cover for them. So it was important.
But this, just as to pay you a compliment, I think a lot of Celtic fans would probably say we've been trying to sign your replacement ever since you left in 2006.
I know it. I've heard that a lot, but I don't think you should compare players. You know, I don't think that's wrong. And I think that some very good midfielders play there, you know, here. But, you know, with Celtic, since I left, I think that they went different. They weren't really counting much on the midfielders. I think they'll come more the strikers, big name strikers. You know, Scott Combe. There was a pressure on the strikers. Now the man was before. Now it's Stoke and you know, Samaras and Balde.
Yeah.
You got three strikers that you expect them to score. That I think that's not as much as it used to be. You know, midfielders need to score. But if you get midfielders to score, it'll be great. Mm-hmm. But I think the midfielders are doing great, great, great job at the moment. You know, Brown and Ledley and Kayal, they're really good midfielders. They're doing great.
So you were at Villa and you enjoyed your time. Was it just every day, not to be critical of Scottish football, but every game you had to play that much harder, try that much harder?
Yeah, it's no disrespect, nothing's wrong with that. It's just the way it is. You go and the club's spending millions to bring the best players there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's normal, the level to be higher, the physical side of the game, and it is tough. Because, you know, I think in when you go in that Premier League, it's completely different. You play against every team. It's a different style.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different style of football every week.
Right.
And it's every single team got about six or seven players that can change the game like that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's really important, the concentration, the physical sound, the speed. It's much better. But here as well, if you look at the record of Scottish team playing English team, they always give them a good game.
Yeah.
Because they're improving. They will improve. But the spending is much bigger there than in Scotland,
yeah.
So it's normal the league to be higher and better.
There used to be a team in Glasgow called Rangers, and you played a few games against them.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
I've enjoyed it.
You know, some players say, I never actually enjoyed a game against Rangers because the tension was too high.
No,
did you?
I've loved every single game, even the games that I was losing. And I think Celtic miss Rangers. You can ask any, I think they miss Rangers because it's something unique.
Mm-hmm.
The fans, the build-up, the game, everything is just incredible. Amazing.
I remember you being hit by a cup from the Copeland
Rodney. Yeah, my celebration was bad. Yeah. But I've enjoyed every single second, and I think I hope the Rangers will be back on their feet, and because I think Celtic miss them. I think the Scottish League and the Scottish football miss them. I think the world miss that derby between Celtic and Rangers, and I hope we can see that soon again. It will be great because the atmosphere will be...
Well, people talk about atmospheres. You played in...
It's okay.
You played in Birmingham derbies.
Yeah.
You played against Man United and Liverpool, and obviously you played for the Bulgarian national side, and you played European nights. What's your most, of all the games you played, international, Villa, Celtic, what's your most memorable game? And don't say Celtic just because you're sitting and saying
no,
Celtic.
No, I'll say every single one. Why? You're going to say, as people say, oh, you say that not because not to be Celtic or Villa or national team. No, because I had the pleasure to do what I love to do, to play football. And I've enjoyed every single second of it. I won't say minute, I'll say second of it. Being a footballer, playing in front of great crowds, scoring goals, even losing games, the atmospheres, everything just come under one. And I've enjoyed every moment of it, every game, everything about football, because that's what I dream for. That's what I work for, to become a footballer, to have a success, to achieve something, and I managed to do that, and that's why every single second was a pleasure for me.
You've got, obviously you've had to retire in 2006. No, sorry, not 2006.
That was too early. Was, well, 2006, what are you thinking?
No, 2000. Well, you retired from Celtic in 2006, but you had to retire a couple of years ago with the leukemia. How's your health?
It's all right. It was obviously was a very tough goal for me to retire, but I needed to. The health came ahead of everything else, because that's the most important thing, you know. So it was really tough to make that decision. I still can't believe it, but you know, I'm kind of getting around it. You know, I need to do it. And the doctor said to me that I'm not able to play anymore, different reasons. And I need to call the day. So the health so far, touch wood, everything is going well. I've got another a year and a half of maintenance. That means I'm on the tablets, and every 3 months I have a little chemo and a little injection in my spine. So it's a little bit a way to go, but that's the way protocol go. Mm-hmm. I went through the 1 year of very intensive chemo, and I'm in remission, and everything so far is going brilliantly, and you know, hope will go that way. And after that 1.5 year, I'm just going to stop completely everything, and I'm going to have a checkups in every 6 months, and then every year after that. So that's the way it goes.
You were talking about putting on weight. I do have to say, to mere mortals like me, you're still considerably fitter than I am. So
no, listen, it's what is it? I find it really difficult, because the moment I try to do exercise and that, but I take a lot of very high dose of steroids as well, which gain weight and retain water, and you know, makes me really big and swelled up. You know, I've got a moon face sometimes as well for a couple of weeks, and you know, for me being fit all my years, you know, it's something frustrating. But the main thing is everything, the right thing is going well, and that's the main thing.
So we've got the game coming up on Sunday. How did that come about?
I had a phone, Celtic heard that I'm starting my charity foundation, and you know, they said, we'd love to help you, you know, we'd love to, for what you've done for the club, we'd love to give you a game. Also, we can split the funds between the free charity, three great charities, and would you like to do that? And I was thinking for what, only 2 minutes, and I went, yeah, I'm ready for it. And you know, but Celtic was been amazing with organization, with organizing thing for players, for staff, for everything. They've been you know, great, and also the players as well, because some of the players are still playing, and every single one that I spoke with, inviting, they went straight away, yeah, we'll be there. Obviously, with the ones that we're the ones that still play and we need the permission from the clubs. But every club went, yeah, that's fine. Even that's the time that some of the players take time off and going away with the families. They went, no, we're going to come there. We're going to be part of it. It's a great cause. And also, it's a great stadium with great fans. And I'm really happy. I think we sold about, 55,000 tickets already. So all the players were calling me yesterday and said, we can't believe it. We're buzzing about the game and really looking forward to it. So I'm really looking forward to it as well.
So who, if you want to run through the Celtic 11, is now, first of all, Louis Tomlinson, for people of my age and a wee bit older, he's for a successful pop band called One Direction, who apparently lots of young girls are liking. So that's not really helped getting people along, having Louis Tomlinson in it.
Yeah, and I heard he's good as well, so we're looking forward to see what he can offer.
Yeah.
And I think he'll be exciting for every single one.
I'm just looking at the list of names. It's enormous.
Yeah, no, it's big.
It's like some of the older ones won't be able to run about for long.
You know, we need to get some more players because, you know, some of them were saying, you know, we can only play about 20 minutes and that. So, and obviously, some of my teams are still active players, so they'll be fitter, they'll be stronger.
Yeah.
So, Celtic was saying, well, we're going to get a bit more because our guys, I said, don't you underestimate your guys. They're going to be fit and they're going to be up there. Every time I see Henrik, he's fit as anything.
Yeah.
Chris looked fit as well. Bobby Petter as well. I think it was only me and Didier overweight. I think so. But, you know, every single player that's going to play, doesn't matter if he's an ex-footballer, present footballer, actor, singer, they'll be enjoying that day, and I think will be a very good atmosphere.
Yeah, because I'm looking at your team, it's pretty... I think it's a bit unfair that you've got someone like Agbon Lahore participating in your team.
I can't lose against Lenny. I said to him, I'm bringing the strongest I can. I'm going to bring pace, and we're not going to lose that game.
Yeah, I think Celtic are going to need to maybe start with 14 on the park, looking at... you've got players who are still playing every week.
You know, the way Lenny sprinted the other day after that, they scored the third goal, and I'm not surprised. We may put him on at Bonahoe, so it'll be a good match there.
And John Terry, he'll be ready to put on his Chelsea kit and pick up the European Cup every 5 minutes.
Listen, he's been great. You know, I know a lot of people was asking me, why is John playing? He said, you know, he's been very supportive. He's been great as well. And, you know, as soon as I spoke with him, he went, yep, I'll be there. There's no question asked. He said, it's a great stadium and I'll be there. It's a great cause as well. So I'll be there. Don't worry about it. That was his response. No question, not anything.
Yeah, excellent. So the charity he's benefiting, so do you want to tell me a bit about the Stirling Petrol Foundation? Because is that a new...
Yeah, I knew, obviously, with the treatment I went through, I saw how hard is it and what is it. Obviously, before, I helped a lot of people going through something like that, leukemia, you know, transplants and things like that. So I've helped, but I didn't really know much about it. But I went through myself with it, and I saw how hard is it. So I'm going to help a lot of the researchers, especially researchers that I think they're going to have got a chance to have a breakthrough. And I've been going through different hospital labs to see how far they're ahead with different treatments and things like that. So I'm going to help with that. Also, I'm going to help with families. You know, I'm helping a family. Actually, the mother is from here, from Glasgow, you know, and their kid is having treatment at Birmingham Hospital, Children's Hospital. But I'm offering accommodation because when a kid having a treatment, you can't have, some families can't afford to be around the kids for all the time. But all I can afford, I can actually take care of the accommodation.
Right.
To be in there, and you can see the help. I know how important the help is for the families. So I've started already. So that's something that from the start I'm gonna look to help with and make a difference with. And Celtic is giving me a great opportunity to start with to kickstart my foundation.
Excellent. Okay. Well, I've kept you long enough because
no
I've got a lunch appointment. So thanks very much for your time, Stillian, and good luck on Sunday. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. Stan, my mate Stan, Stillian was really nice guy, really generous with his time. Celtic were also very generous, giving me a place to speak to Stillian at, looking fit and healthy, and everything sounding very good for the future with him. Also, I thought it was fantastic insight into the development of younger players and the confidence and the ability that he developed from Kenny Dalglish saying you've got 10 games, regardless, that's it. But also, I appreciate managers have got to get results and us fans are a bit impatient. More importantly, is there's only, as I speak, only a few thousand tickets at most left for his game on Sunday, which kicks off at 2 p.m. at Celtic Park. Adults £10, children £5. Teams, as we discussed in that podcast, will be managed by Martin O'Neill and King Kenny Dalglish. The benefactors of the event put in place by the Celtic Charity Fund are the Stillian Petrov Foundation and food banks in Glasgow via the Trussell Trust. Pretty ironic that here we are, Celtic 126 years ago were formed to put food on the tables in the east end of Glasgow, and 126 years ago Celtic are playing a game to put food on the tables. Enough of my rambling. Yeah, this is podcast number 198, as I said at the beginning. We've got one more podcast to go and then into the 200s. And I've got something really, hopefully, special lined up for the 200s podcast. Here's just a wee bit of a clue as to what it might be. Podcast 199 will be along soon, and then the 200s.